He is a missionary to the Gentiles. He has been so expounding and explaining the gospel that reaches every nation and every people that there is the thought, Paul, what about your own people? What about those Jews among whom you were born? Your own countrymen? And Paul expounds here that he has such a burden even for his own countrymen that he could wish that he himself was accursed from Christ. Now, don't think Paul wanted to go to hell. Not at all. He is speaking here with some poetic license. He is speaking here with some flair of trying to express the extent of the burden. I have such a heaviness. I am so burdened for my own people that in a way I could wish that they were saved and I perish.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. Romans chapter 12 is one of the great chapters of the Bible. It comes after the doctrinal portion of Romans, where Paul sets out the message of the gospel from A to Z. Romans is the gospel expounded, but then immediately following is our responsibilities expanded and laid out. And he begins Romans 12:1 with, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And so this is all about now how to live as a Christian. If you're saved, if you're justified by the blood, if you understand that God has a plan of redemption that is through Christ, through the cross, and you have trusted in that plan, then you are now to live not any longer as a pagan, but as a Christian, one who is redeemed and reborn again and looking forward to glory. And we're to live a new life. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Oh, that's the appeal of the apostle. And that's the message that we have here today. We also have a hymn, My Heart Longed to Pray, by Al Smith. And then we close with a final story on Grace Enough, or Sufficient Grace. Oh, I assure you that the reservoirs of God's grace are full and that there is plenteous supply for all. Stay tuned as we let the Bible speak today on God's grace. And if you read through the book of Romans, you go from chapter 1 where you have man's guilt, chapter 3 to his coming short of the glory of God, chapter 4 to justification by faith, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's Romans 5. Romans 8, therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that we are set free from the bondage of sin. And then Paul says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Why do we serve the Lord Jesus? Why do we are we motivated to be Christians, to worship him and serve him? Because we are debtors to grace. And that is the greatest motivation of all. It is not the hammer of the law. It is not conviction of sin, but it is God's infinite mercy to us that he has dealt with us according to grace. Now, to understand mercy, we have to understand the source. And of course, the source is our Father in heaven. God is the source of mercy. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And in Corinthians, Paul says that we are saved by the God of mercy. That's his name. That's his title. That's his delight, to deal with us in mercy. Another way to appreciate mercy is the number of them. Did you notice that Paul puts it in the plural? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God.
untold, unnumbered. How many mercies have you received from God? Do we not rise every morning with new mercies every day? Is every gift that we receive in a sinful world not mercy? The very breath we breathe, the very food we eat, the life we enjoy, and liberty to worship the Lord, every one of these are mercies. And then as David rested in a time of difficulty in his life, he went to talk about the sure mercies of David, a covenant mercy. And God is dealing with every one of us by an arrangement, a contract, or a covenant of mercy. And when we get to heaven, the only reason we will be there is because God condescended, entered into a covenant arrangement to deal with us, not according to what we deserve, but to deliver us from what we deserve and bring us home to glory. And so I trust today that you comprehend, you understand that as a Christian, you are a debtor to mercy. And as that sinks in, the better we understand that, as we grow in the Christian life, and that's how we ought to grow, those things should deepen. This should become our perspective continually, that we're ever and always a debtor to God and to grace. That it humbles us, it molds us, and it makes us more willing, more ready to serve the Lord. And so we come now to the application. How do we apply mercy to our lives? Well, firstly, we need to apply it to our worship. We must always come and approach God as debtors to grace. We sing the hymn, number 614, a debtor to God and to mercy. Of covenant mercy I sing, nor fear with God's righteousness on, my person and offerings to bring. And this changes our whole attitude as we come into God's presence to bow the knee, to worship Him. We come not in our pride or our importance. We come in our humility as a recipient of undeserved grace, delivered from the damnation of the pit of misery. God, the great compassionate God, has set His love upon us. And so it changes our very attitude, our demeanor, our thinking, our desires as we come into the presence of God. It changes the very hymns that we want to sing. We want to acknowledge before God that we are indeed such debtors. We take the position as a guilty, hell-deserving sinner, recognizing that once we were lost, but now we are found. And we lift up our voices and our praises to God. Like the blind beggar that sat along the roadside and said, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And the Lord did. What an attitude as he entered and called upon the Lord to worship Him. And so as Christians, as debtors to grace, how do we worship? I don't refer to the Lord as my buddy. I don't refer to the Lord as my equal. I don't come as if I am important, but I come humbling myself in His presence. God's mercy, and the more we understand it, the deeper it sinks into our hearts and lives, it will increase God-honoring worship. That's why we worship the way we do. We seek to humble the pride of man and to exalt the one who has redeemed us. Then also we need to apply this to the world around us. Monday morning will come and some will go off to school or university or to the workplace. And if as a sinner dealt with by mercy, how do you see the world? Well, you turn on your television and you see the Hollywood stars. We rather than want to be like them, we pity them because they're so lost. They're so caught up in their pride, their pomp, their fame, their riches, that they are without God's grace and they're lost. And so as I look on and see the world advancing, what does a heart that has received mercy from God behold? We see those who are lost in sin. They might be advancing in the business world. They might be advancing in the corruption and the crooked ways of the world. But they're only accumulating a mountain of sin. They're like the fatted ox in the stall. The fatter they get, the nearer slaughter they become. And when we look through, see the world through the eyes as Christians dealt with in mercy, it drives us to our knees to pray for them, to cry out to God, to open their hearts, to change their ways, and to lead them into the paths of God's grace. And of course, this is why we want to be a witness to the world. This is what the church is to do. This is why we want to support missionaries. This is why we want to evangelize. Because we who have received mercy, we see the world around us in need of God's mercy. And so we're motivated to witness. We're motivated to preach this gospel, that men and women who are so lost will be brought to understand what Christ has done for sinners and how the gospel is needed to save them. Now, I want to turn you to Romans chapter 9 and to verse 1 and to chapter 10, verse 1. And I want you to see how the Apostle Paul applied this. He says in Romans 9, verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Now, Paul brings this in here because after his teaching in these chapters, men think that Paul has no burden for the Jews. He is a missionary to the Gentiles. He has been so expounding and explaining the gospel that reaches every nation and every people that there is the thought, Paul, what about your own people? What about those Jews among whom you were born? Your own countrymen? And Paul expounds here that he has such a burden even for his own countrymen that he could wish that he himself was accursed from Christ. Now, don't think Paul wanted to go to hell. Not at all. He is speaking here with some poetic license. He is speaking here with some flair of trying to express the extent of the burden. I have such a heaviness. I am so burdened for my own people that in a way I could wish that they were saved and I perish. And of course, when you understand Romans 8, and how nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, Paul knew that was impossible. It's impossible for a Christian to be lost. It's impossible for us to trade places with a lost soul. But he's expressing the extent of his burden. And it is because of the mercy that he has received, the grace by which God has dealt with him, that this burden now grows stronger and stronger. And then in chapter 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. My heart's desire. I wonder today as a Christian, is that your desire? Think of Canadians now. Think of the family and neighborhood and think of the responsibilities, the sphere in which you move and the eyes that are upon you each day. Is there a burden in your soul and a longing desire that you might be God's instrument to see them won to Christ? That's what mercy does. That's the motivation of mercy. That's how it stirs the soul. It doesn't leave you passive and inactive and careless. but it makes you to be one that with strong desires that others, and especially those of your own nation, your own neighborhood, those whom you know, and when you see someone maybe in your neighborhood and they're laughing and guffawing and they're enjoying the things of this world, maybe they stagger home after drinking and they're just living for the world. What does that do to you? What impact does that make upon your heart? Should we not pity them? We certainly don't want to be like them, and we don't want to encourage them. There ought to be a deep-seated compassion when we witness their lost, godless, wicked ways. And rather than despise, it drives us to pray at least, and to seek their blessing and to seek their welfare. Now that story I was reading about the British boy that became a slave in Rome, the marvelous thing in the story was that after he was freed, he didn't want to go back to Britain. He wanted to work for the freedom of the Christian slave, Tyro, who had come up with the money to purchase his freedom, 800 denarii. And he had used the money that he had saved for his own freedom to set Bryn free. And so now he wanted to repay. He sensed his debt, indebtedness. He sensed how much he owed to the mercy of his friend Tyro, who was a Christian slave. And then he wanted to do something that he might see him set free as well. Surely that is the impact of the debt we owe when we as Christians understand how the Lord has suffered, endured, and purchased our salvation at such an eternal cost. Christ went to the cross. He laid down his life. He shed his blood. And in the mercy of God now, my sins are laid on Jesus. And his white righteousness is given to us. We have this standing. We are being dealt with not according to what we deserve, not to what we did ourselves, but according to grace and mercy. And I say today, as Paul did, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye offer your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. This is proper logic. It's what ought to happen now that we're Christians, that we want our lives to be on the altar, burning up for the Lord. Not whittling away our time, not seeking some place of ease, not shirking our responsibilities, but rather a life on the altar of service. We have a great work to do for the Lord. We are given a great opportunity here in our own church, in this community. And I beseech you as my brothers and sisters today, as God in his grace has dealt with you in such mercy, will you give yourself more and more to serve and to see others won to Christ? Let's be a gospel church. Let's be a soul-winning church. Let's be a people in prayer with tears in our eyes for the lost. The deeper we understand mercy, the more burdened we will be. And I pray that we will labor together to serve the Lord.
Often my heart longed to pray. I was a sinner, so what could I say? Then I was told of the blood cleansing way opened by Jesus, my Lord. I found the way through the blood, past the veil, to the Holy of Holies with God.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. A great privilege to bring the message again today, and I hope that it has reached your heart. Preaching is heart work. It must come from the Scriptures into the heart of the preacher and then to the heart of the hearer. If it does not reach your heart, it will make you no better. You may have it all in your head, but without a new heart, without a heart to receive that gospel seed as the good ground, then there will be no lasting fruit. And so it is always my prayer that the message of the gospel will be buried deep within hearts, and that we will see the fruit of faith, repentance, a new life, turning to the Lord and enjoying God's great salvation. As I have been doing, I want to bring a little story here at the close of the program. A clergyman walking near a brook observed a woman washing wool in a stream. This was done by putting it in a sieve and then dipping the sieve in the water repeatedly until the wool became white and clean. He asked the woman if she knew him. "Oh, yes, sir," she said. "I shall have reason to bless God to eternity for having heard you preach some years ago. Your sermon was the means of doing me much good. I rejoice to hear it. Pray, what was the subject?" "Ah, sir, I can't recollect that. My memory is so bad." "How then can the sermon have done you so much good if you don't remember even what it was about?" "Sir, my mind is like this sieve. The sieve does not hold the water, but as the water runs through, it cleanses the wool. So my memory does not retain the words I hear, but as they pass through my heart, by God's grace they cleanse it. Now I no longer love sin, and every day I entreat my Savior to wash me in his own blood and to cleanse me from all pollution. Well, that's a great encouragement to every preacher, because I'm sure when we ask people, what did I preach last week? Few remember. Yet the Lord is always doing his work, because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it is by that Spirit, that Word, that the Holy Spirit sanctifies us through the truth of the Bible. Let me read to you a little message here by Mr. Spurgeon. My grace is sufficient for thee. The other evening I was riding home after a heavy day's work. I felt very wearied and sore depressed, when swiftly and suddenly, as a lightning flash, that text came to me. My grace is sufficient for thee. I reached home and looked it up in the original, and at last it came to me in this way. My grace is sufficient for thee. And I said, I should think it is, Lord, and burst out laughing. I never fully understood what the holy laughter of Abraham was until then. It seemed to make unbelief so absurd. It was as though some little fish, being very thirsty, was troubled about drinking the river dry. And Father Tem said, drink away, little fish, my stream is sufficient for thee. Or it seemed like a little mouse in the granaries of Egypt after the 7 years of plenty, fearing it might die of famine. Joseph might say, cheer up, little mouse, my granaries are sufficient for thee. Again, I imagined a man away up yonder in the lofty mountain saying to himself, I breathe so many cubic feet of air every day. I fear I shall exhaust the oxygen in the atmosphere. But the earth might say, breathe away, O man, and fill thy lungs ever. My atmosphere is sufficient for thee. O brethren, be great believers. Little faith will bring your souls to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your souls. Amen. May God write these wonderful things on your heart, encourage you today, and be a blessing. If I can be of personal help to you, be sure to call me or send me an email. You'll find the details in these closing announcements.
Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and I want to give you a personal invitation to come along to our church services any Sunday, 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bring your family and friends as we preach the message of salvation. Of course, you can join us by webcast right here at these times, 10:30 and 6, and you can join us on your own computer to view by video and by audio. If perhaps you have missed part of the program today, or you'd like to hear this message again, you can go to our website. So you'll get all the information there. If you go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you'll get a map of our church, times of service, you'll get a contact button, a donate button, and you can be a part of this ministry, and we invite you to do so. Now, listeners on Vancouver Island and in Victoria, we invite you also to our church services there at
10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. on Sundays.
You will be most welcome at the services there, and the people will receive you gladly as they worship the Lord and stand for the Lord Jesus. It's important for Christians to take a public stand and be a part of the fellowship of God's people. Now, the website again is www.cloverdalefpc.ca. Give me a phone call if you wish, 604-576-1091. We look forward to hearing from you. Join us again, please, as we let the Bible speak.